Seated. I really, as Brother Daniel was mentioning, I appreciate our musicians.
And yes.
Thank the Lord has really blessed me with a beautiful daughter and a son-in-law that is a good match with her.
Yeah. Amen.
And I feel really blessed, you know, that they're wanting to use their talents for the Lord, and then they can fill in for Brother Tim while he's gone. And that's saying something, being able to fill in for Brother Tim.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I really appreciate the song service. That was really good. I look out at our group today, and it kind of makes me feel like I might need to just pull chairs up front and start reading the church age book. And so those of you remember, we did that for Wednesday night for a long time, but it's just about the same group here this morning that we used to do that with. But before we get started, I just was marveling at Brother Daniel as he mentioned Brother Ed's testimony, because I really kind of told on maybe taking the service this morning and talking about not necessarily Brother Ed's testimony, but the things that God had done, because I listened to a sermon this week from Brother Ed from some time in the back, and in that he was telling some of his testimony, and it stirred my heart, and I was really thinking the same thing that people have really understood the magnitude of what God has done through that man that walked here on this earth. And that testimony stirs you, and it's real, it's genuine. It's not something that you can just, like, you know, you hear all these stories and you don't know if it's right or not or whatever, or you don't know if it's been somebody's given glamour to it or something like that. But Brother Ed's testimony is just as clean and clear, and it shows you exactly the situation the church world was in when God sent that prophet.
Yes.
And the magnitude of the accuracy of that ministry. And then I'll go ahead and say this, another good testimony to listen to, and both of these are rather lengthy, and that is Brother Perry Green's. He does the same thing. He goes through and he shows how that he met Brother Branham and how God put in his heart the accuracy of everything that was done. When I was listening to that this week, and Brother Biscoe said, you know, that he and Brother Branham walked out into the woods, and they just sat down there, and he said, Brother Branham said to Brother Biscoe, Brother Biscoe said, he came to me today. And I believe you've got three questions on your heart.
Amen.
Who can say that?
Right.
What person, can Benny Hinn do that, or can some of these, when he said, he came to me today, and the vindication that he came to me today was, he knew the thoughts and intents of the heart, and the word of the Lord comes to the prophets.
Yes.
Who knows, and the word is a discerner. See, no other ministry of this magnitude, and I think people are missing that, and I don't mean necessarily a bribe, but I think it would do us all good just to go back and throw ourselves into that, and I don't know, maybe we could just do it here or whatever, but it'd be good for people to see that and look at the accuracy and the magnitude of what this is. And so, may the Lord bless you. I just thought that was really interesting that Brother Daniel had felt led to do that, or did that, and it was, his heart was pricked too. And so we know God is, there's a reason for that.
Amen.
So we'll open our Bibles and read Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and we'll pray, and then it'll let you be seated. I read this last week, I believe, and we're on this Living Right or Live Right series I told you I wanted to do, and I don't know how far this will go, but I really want to cover this, and so this will be part two. And so Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, it's been a blessing to be here in your house this morning already, just to sense your presence come in and among your people, and to see them as they begin to reach out to you and worship you, Lord. Just how that you just come and you fill this place with your presence. And Lord, how that you honor those who honor you in trying to express their love and their thankfulness and their service to you, Lord, in their songs and their gifts. We love you, Lord, and that's what we're here to do, is just take everything that we are and just present it back to you, that you could use us for your glory. We love you, Lord, and we know that you dwell among the praises of your people, and so we know that you're here this morning. Just ask God that you have your way. Touch every heart, and Lord, those that are missing from us this morning, we just ask God that you go with them, be with them. May they be blessed, and may you keep them safe, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. So, Live Right series, and we'll probably rehearse some and from last week, and then try to go a little further forward this morning. And so, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, I use that to whenever I get into the discussion with someone about baptism. Because everything you do in word or in deed, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And there's a scripture that says that, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That holy name, that name that is above all names, the only name given among men,
yep,
right, where we can be saved. And that one who came down, and that name associated with that power and that force that cleansed us, then he's worthy of us, that even if we would speak his name, that we would depart from iniquity.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And you know what iniquity is? When you know you should do something, you don't do it.
Right?
Right? That we would depart from being disobedient and become obedient, even if we just name the name of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. But now just when someone comes in the name, that's not just saying, well, I'm here in the name of Jesus, but that's like, I'm here doing it in his stead, or it's his life in me that's doing this, right? When you come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saying that it's in his life that you come and do what you're doing. And so can you commit iniquity in his name? No. You see? And so that's another thing that I think people need to be shook back to the reality of is that holy walk that should be there, a very straight, narrow walk that we should have when we name the name of Christ. But the scripture said everything we do in word or in deed. And so you remember last week I said that we used that quote where Brother Bram said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse, every line, then you go back and read again because you read it wrong. And I said, and it's so if you go out and you live something and you don't live Jesus Christ, you better go back and live it again. And I know you can't go back in time, but you better go back and do it because you've done it wrong. If you didn't live it in Christ Jesus, in his name, it's been done wrong. But once we find that channel where we can live through his name, then that which will be lived out will be correct, and it will not be something that repeats the fall of man. It'll be the thing that reverses what the fall was. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm wanting to talk about a whole lot about this. When I say live right, I'm not talking about just living good. I'm talking the only right life there is to live is that of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So to live right is to live him. And like I said last week, if he came down and he was in your body, living in your circumstances, dealing with what you're dealing with, right, how would he do it? And that's the way you should be doing it,
amen,
right? And the only way you can do that is if you totally surrender your life and say, God, I know I can't do this. You come living in me, and then let him do it. And then you'll see something happen that's really good and gives honor and glory to God.
Amen.
And so we are not to live our own life. We are to live for him.
Right.
All right? Who brought you here? Did you decide, you know what, I think I want to come to earth? Did you do that? Then you have no say in it. Who made you tall or made you short, if for Sister Vicky? Who made you? Because Jesus says you can't add one cubit to your stature. Right?
That's right.
You can't change your hair to make it black or white. You can't add one cubit to your stature. You can't change yourself. Mm-hmm. But he brought you here the way he wants you to be. Right? Mm-hmm. And you had nothing to do with it. Your mom and dad didn't have anything to do with it. Right? We know that a mom and dad, when they come together, that it is their genetics that pass on to their children, but they don't have control of what part of daddy made, what feature the child looks like. It's like daddy, or wonder what it's looked like mama, how tall it is, how whatever.
Right.
Right? God, Brother Ernest says, God's the one that determines whether they got red hair, black hair, whatever. God's the one that determines. So you came here at his choice, not even your parents' choice, right? The scripture said, read St. John chapter 1, that we are born not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God.
Yeah.
So we're here. He brought us here. And so you think now I brought you here. Now you go do what you want to. Does that sound right? No. He brought you here so that you could serve his purpose. And his purpose is not reenacting the fall. His purpose is to live in such a way that destroys everything that Satan tried to do.
Amen.
Pertaining to the fall that he did do. And so he comes and he brought you here and he wants you to live for him. We talked last week about how that there is the holy image of God, and that is that the male and female dwelling together in unity. And when we're talking about unity, it means husband and wife, but that is the holy image. Not just Jesus Christ by himself. Not just a man by himself who's lonely. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But God showed himself in the garden that Adam was like he was. He was not happy being lonely. He wanted to have something more than angels who worshiped him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to have something greater than angels. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to have a wife. Right?
Yeah.
And so God is all, it's about family.
Mm-hmm.
Family. It's not about being in church and, oh, we do everything right in church. Well, how do you do it out there?
Right.
What about in your home?
Uh-huh.
That's where it's at. We can live right in here,
right,
but how do we go out there?
Yeah.
See, and so God is all about family. He wanted to be a family because it's his life that does it. But he wanted to be a family, and he expressed that in Adam. And so here's Adam. He's lonely because God was lonely. And so God played out and brought part of Adam to him as wife and brought them together in unity. And there was that holy image of God. God dwelling with his wife, with his family. Because, you know, when you have a husband and wife, you have family. Mm-hmm. Right? You have potential family. That's what he wanted. And so that's the holy image of God. So God wants us not just as individual to be able to walk with him, right? Not just a man by himself, but what God really wants to see is he wants to see a godly man and a godly woman who were brought together by God,
yep.
Brought together as something he's established so that man cannot put us under, and that those two walk together in unity in all their home and all their offspring and everything they do and all their whole life is representing this great, glorious God who we serve. Not living in things that is a reenactment or endorsing or pushing the things that made the fall in the first place and the things that continue to reenact the fall throughout humanity everywhere you go.
Yep.
See? And so that is the thing. It's the holy image of God. And so I said last week that because of the seven seals bringing forth the revelation of Jesus Christ, and to reveal him helped us to see who she is because she's part of him. And now that we have access to the revelation of Jesus Christ, we have access to know who he really is, who she really is, how they're brought together, what that arrangement is, and what their home and their life and their offspring shall be. For the first time, we understand that because God, through the opening of the seven seals, has now given to us the ability to stop living the fall.
Amen.
Ultimately, when it's all over with, the fall will be destroyed when we take a body change.
That's right.
Right? Last enemy is death, right? And that's right. And it was in him, but now it's going to be in us. The last enemy that we'll have to deal with is death. And so when we have a body change, that'll fix it all. And so, but this seven seal message has made it now, or now we have access to be able to live it. And so what are we saying? By the knowledge, by the correction of all the false teachings and false doctrines and all the things that has been put into humanity to make them react and keep living out the fall and committing adultery and all these things. All that's corrected now in the bride if she'll follow this seven seal message, which has brought the true understanding to us. Now we understand why it has to be one man, one woman, and only through holy matrimony and not some other way, and not living like the animals out in the barnyard. See? Now we know why these are. And so now that we know, now we're empowered to seek God to live through us in such a way that we live the way he wants us to and not the way the world wants us to.
Right.
And this is the bride's calling.
Yeah.
When she becomes one with him, because this is the marriage supper, you know, we go to, but there's the wedding. All right, she's made herself ready. She's clothed herself. This is what we're talking about. She has said no to the world. She's wrapped herself up into his white garment that he's provided. And she's now one with him, and she's living with him. And that means she's not living like the world. She's not living like all the rest of them who are not his wife.
Right.
She's different. So she lives according to everything that's right and true. And how does she do that? By embracing the revelation that's been brought to us, by embracing how to live right. Because that's what it is. When the revelation comes, if we grasp it and we have it right, it causes us to live right.
That's right.
Right? Doesn't mean that you ain't going to make mistakes, but it causes us to live right. Because now in us is the very life that knows and desires only that which is right. You find yourself desiring something contrary to the word, you know that's not God.
Right.
That might just be you. But we're called to put ourselves to the side and live for him. Because if you don't get in his presence often, you'll start living you. Right?
Right.
That's why Satan fights you, not to pray, not to read your Bible, not to listen to the tape, because when you don't get in his presence, you start smelling like the world again.
That's right.
See? But that's why we have to keep pressing on. It's the message. It's what God has done. That's what we must embrace and stay true to and let that live in us and tell the world, bye.
Yeah.
Right? Tell them bye, regardless of what they say.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're called to do. So Satan attacked the holy image of God. So that was that man and woman. And everything that's required to bring a young man up and a young woman up to make them that holy image, that's what Satan attacked. All the teachings, all the training. And how does he do it? He does it through culture. He does it through school. He does it through media. He does it through everybody else around you that doesn't live right, doesn't believe the message. Everything around you besides thus saith the Lord is contrary to thus saith the Lord. And you're born in that, and it's like a fish in water. You're swimming in the water, and the water is the very world that's contrary to you. It's everywhere. It's all over you, and it's through your gills and all that. But you don't have to be that way. See, God has equipped us so that even though we're in this world, we don't have to be of the world. Because we're not of this world. And so Satan attacks that, and everything that brings that, because his whole purpose was to make sure that we don't have godly families.
That's right.
That's the whole purpose right there. Because if you can take a man and a woman and they're surrendered to God and they're in unity, if they're both surrendered to God, they will be in unity. Then there's something that's the image of the God, the holy image of God. And there's a home that Satan can't do much with. Oh, he tries. But he's just not going to be successful, because God is obligated to obey his own word, which this man and woman are together in unity and holding to. He has to. It's like I was telling my Aunt Mary whenever we had prayer a couple of weeks ago for this family. And I told her this morning, I said, I had no worry whatsoever when we prayed, because I understand how God loves unity and fellowship between believers. And when we all come together in unity and one accord, and we ask and we pray in sincerity like that, God moves.
Amen.
He does.
That's right.
See, no question about it. And so the message has come to correct all these things that brings bad mommies and daddies and brings all these things. Come to correct all that. And when it corrects it, it says, now the world says that you don't have to worry about what daddy says. The world says you can date and you can go around and you can get involved in ways you shouldn't, just because, you know, you need to find out who you're compatible with. The world tells you all that. But so then the message has to come along and say, that's not right, but here's the right way.
That's right.
The world will tell you these things, and even the laws of the land is against what God tells you to do. That's right. But that's what the message does. It comes to correct all those things, and we underneath this message to be in unity with Christ the Word, who's telling us how to live right, because that's Him, the very Word. See? Then that's our responsibility, to embrace Him. Is to choose to live right, live his life, not the life of the world, even though you're in the midst of a world that hates it and doesn't want it. Even if they make more laws, you do it anyway. You live for Christ. So it's come to bring us back, and it's come to bring us back to God's order that I talked about last week. God has an order. You as an individual, you might be here, you might be there, you might be retired, you might still be working, you might be in school. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are, but wherever you're at, God has got a call on your life to live a certain thing.
That's right.
And in that position, you have a responsibility to surrender to leadership that He has provided above you. And at the same time, you have a responsibility to live out before those that you're above, that you're an influence to. We all have that, and no matter where we are. And so this is what Paul is telling us, you know, the head of the man is Christ, right? The head of Christ, the man, the woman is the man, and so forth. And so God has an order,
And what we got to do is by the revelation of Jesus Christ, come back to God's order, find our position, and once you stay in that position and do what you're supposed to do, you find out that's when you're beginning to become that invisible army. Amen. And so, how many would like to have a place where you're safe?
Yeah.
Where you know that you're going to be successful at what God's called you to do? Well, this is what I'm talking about. Getting back to God's order. And this is the thing. We were talking at breakfast this morning. You know, you go into a hospital room and you find people there and somebody's dying. They've done give them up and put them into a room where they're going to be hospice called in already. Took them out of the ICU, put them over there, told them, you're not going to survive. And you walk in there, and they're like drug dealers, but they don't have a disposition of a religious spirit upon them. Mm-hmm. So you walk in there, and when the Lord opens the door, and a channel of inspiration strikes, and they grab it, and God moves, but then you go into another situation, and they have such a religious spirit, and you can't break through. You can never get to the place where inspiration strikes because they're religious. Oh, yeah, I know. I don't have to tell me. See what I'm saying? And each one of us can be in this way. In our own area, we can be wise and prudent.
That's right.
And if we're wise and prudent, he will hide from you that leadership that you're rejecting, because through your wisdom and your prudence and relying on yourself, you are rejecting leadership.
Yeah.
And so as long as you have that attitude, it's not so much that he don't want to give it to you, it's just that you are rejecting it. So it says it that way. He hides it from the wise and prudent. Why? He's not going to commit to you the deep things of God if you're not embracing it. In other words, if you're not recognizing that channel of leadership and embracing that, he'll hide it from you, and you won't get the benefits from it.
Yeah.
And you won't have the protection it provides you. Mm-hmm. And we'll cover that in a little bit, the protection that comes with it. So each one of us has this responsibility to get in that place, recognize the channel of authority that's above us, that God has given to you, get into his order, and then go with it. And act out that you're supposed to be in that position. And so, you know, it's actually God that comes in and does that. When you surrender to the Lord and you're looking to him for this leadership, it is he that comes into you and lives out fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. It's not you, it's him.
Yeah.
If you're surrendered to him, and that's the way he wants it. That makes him a family. And so, when you get into your spot, into the place that you're supposed to be in God's order, and you're surrendering to your leadership and you're being a good leader because of it, God's on your side. God is obligated. He is obligated to back, I'll say it this way and then I'll say it a different way, but he's obligated to back you up because you're surrendered to him. You're doing what he wants you to do, what he's asked you and commanded you to do in his word. You're in that channel of authority right where you're supposed to be, and you're carrying out obedient to leadership, and you're being a good leader because you know your spot. And so you have, when you're like that, you have a place where God is on your side, and he's going to back you up. But really, let me say it this way, he's there to back up himself.
That's right.
In you. You're acting him out. You think he's not going to come and act and back you up? As long as it's him, he's going to back you up. Mm-hmm. See? And we want to find a place where we can obligate God. That's why the scripture said it, that he's a high priest of our profession. And Brother Bram says, if you profess in agreement with God's word, God is obligated to make your body line up with your confession.
Amen.
Try it sometime. Mm-hmm. Not just one day. But if you have an ailment come in your body, you got something in your body. If you got a growth, as you remember, I said I had one on my back. You remember that one used to be on my eye. Mm-hmm. All you got to do, and you just start saying, Lord, I thank you for taking that off my back. I thank you. And start confessing in agreement with his word. And you know what? Now you've obligated him, and he has to move. Now, he might test you for a while,
yeah,
but he will do what he said because he can't fail.
Yeah.
right? He will do what he said. So we want to obligate God, and the best way to obligate him is do what he said do, get where he wants us to be, and do what he said do, and then he's obligated to make it work for you.
Amen.
Right? But that ain't living your own life. That's living for him. Amen. And so this message came to bring us back to his order and get us into the place where he fulfills his word, fulfills everything, and that's to get in the role that God has given us. So God's on your side when you get to that spot, and you obligate him like an ambassador. We'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul's talking about this, and he knows that as a minister, when you go and you preach to people God sends you to, that makes you an ambassador. And he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. And we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. So God says, you know what? I want those people down there to be reconciled back to me, and I'm going to send someone to give them my message. And I'm going to send them an ambassador. And Paul was that ambassador. And that's it. I'm going to send that ambassador. And everything that I stand for, he packs that along with him. And so that when he speaks, I'll back up everything he says. Because he's my representative. He's going to carry my message to those people so those people can enter into the arrangement that I am willing to have with them. But I'm not coming myself. I'm coming through him. By sending him, that is an ambassador. And that's who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. And when he says, I want you to go down there and I want you to live, and right there in that high school where you're at, I want you to live and be me.
Yeah.
Then when you go and you speak what he speaks and say what he says and live what he lives, then he's obligated to come along and back up what you are because you're that ambassador for him. Not like, and this might get me in trouble, but not like Ambassador Stevens who asked for help down there and they refused to give him help in Benghazi and knew that he was in trouble and he wound up dead and they knew he was going to.
Right.
The United States under that leadership did not back up their ambassador.
That's right.
What kind of government would be that way? Mm-hmm. Who wants to be an ambassador for someone, for a government that will not back you up? But see, God will back you up.
Yeah.
As long as you're his ambassador. But you know, you can't live like the devil, live like the world, and call yourself an ambassador for God. See, if you're an ambassador for the devil, he's the one that backs up what you're doing. But we want to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ so that he is obligated to come and back up and bring circumstances underneath the authority that he's given us as we are his ambassadors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, how did our redemption come? Our redemption came when the Word of God, when God in his thoughts put his thoughts into Word, and that Word became a flesh man, and the flesh man acted out our redemption. And if you take away the fact that the Word was in flesh, if you pull it out and say, I'll accept God, I'll accept his Word, but it can't be flesh. Mm-hmm. If you can't accept the Word of God being acted out of flesh, you cut yourself off from redemption.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing today. God wants to come down and live the Word made flesh in you. And so you young people, Dad, God wants to come down and he wants to extend to you the Word made flesh, and he does it through Daddy. He does it through Mama, and Mama and Daddy are ambassadors bringing to you a message from God.
Yeah.
And as long as Mom and Dad's with God, he's obligated to back them up. But you see, you've got to recognize, find your position and look at that channel that comes to you and realize this is the way God is blessing my life. I mean, he can bless you in many ways, but you can't reject that way.
Right.
He can bless you in friends and all these other things, but that's the main channel that speaks of the holy image of God that makes the family. That's the image, and you got to recognize that and receive that. Let that be your leadership and your guide. See? And when you do that, you become a blessed person because now God is you're receiving that ambassador he sent. You're receiving, and therefore he can perform in your life the things that he wanted to send to you through the ambassador. Your life will be blessed if you let God work through your ambassador, through your leadership, your headship. And so it was the Word made flesh, and so it's again, it's the Word made flesh. And you're like, well, I'll accept God's leadership, but not through Daddy. You just cut yourself off. Wives, well, I'll receive God's leadership, but not through my husband. You just cut yourself off from the blessing of God. Right? You know, Brother Ram said, you serve God when you serve your husband. Right? There's another quote, and this is in Marriage and Divorce. Brother Ram says, and it's kind of choppy, but it gets the point across there. He says, the woman, she broke the entire continuity of God's operation on the earth and threw everything into death. The woman, not the man, she broke the covenant. She broke the covenant. Why? She stepped across the borders of God's word. And now if she broke her covenant with her husband, she broke her covenant with God. And then because she broke her covenant with God, she broke it with her husband. Because her husband is an ambassador of God. He's a channel of leadership to her. And God is going to express that through there. And when you break your covenant with your husband, you've broke it with God. And if you leave God, you don't have the power and strength to stay virtuous to your husband. They go one and one the same. Now you say, Brother Tony, this is so odd, so strange. I'm talking about the economy of God and trying to get out of our minds the things that the world has put in there. Right. But this is what we're talking about. That husband is a leadership with a wife, and you've got to accept the fact that that's the Word of God in flesh there as your husband that you're to surrender to, because God is going to work through him redemption for you and help to you and blessings to you. Right? Same way with children to daddy or children to mom, to anybody that's in that position above you. So, it's the Word made flesh. So, if the Word becomes flesh in all of us, is he going to live out something that's the fall again? Is God going to anoint daddy and have daddy say, It's okay, sweetie. I know you're only 14 years old. Go ahead and go with this guy. Y'all just go on and have a good time. No, he's not going to do that. And we know that. And we can sit here in church and say that. We can sit right here and say, that's right. God won't allow that. But what about when you get out the doors? What about when you're tempted and you're the one that wants to do this? Uh-oh. Now when the rubber meets the road and it's me that wants to do this and go out and have be able to date and be unchaperoned and all, I'm the one that wants to do this, and daddy's saying no, all of a sudden I don't want daddy's leadership. Right. You've just cut yourself off from the blessing of God.
Amen.
You may not realize it that way, and when you're out there, it may not seem that way, but I'm standing here as a minister of the gospel telling you that's exactly what's happening when you resist daddy's leadership. That's exactly what's going on. You're saying, I know better. I want it my way. You reject that. You cut yourself off from the protection that comes through that channel.
Right.
And now you're vulnerable. And guess what happens? You go on and do it, go on, and the next thing you know, your life is in shambles. Why? Because you rejected the thing that God sent to be your leadership.
Yeah.
Now this, you have many aspects in your life. You children, your mom is, your dad is, your pastor is. As a church, the pastor, the ministry is.
Yep.
Right? So you have these different channels as a church, and God's speaking to you through the ministry. But you have it in your home, and you can by no means reject those things. If it's the voice of God. Now if daddy's off in some left field, that's a different story, right? And if the pastor or the preacher is.
Yeah.
But when they're echoing the word of God, thus saith the Lord, a vindicated message. See, that's what God has sent to you. He has sent that to you. And if you reject it, you're rejecting him.
Yeah.
Because daddy's not going to voice something contrary if he's anointed of God, if he's in tune with God. A surrendered dad will echo the word. And so that's what daddy has to find out. And he, dads make mistakes.
Yeah.
Pastors make mistakes. Preachers break mistakes. We all do. And it isn't the mistake that is the word of the Lord, but if we get if we come back and repent and get right, you see, then that's God.
Yeah.
And so now, I've said all that, but I kind of want to focus a little bit on the direction of Father, because I want to go through the different things here, and so we're going to talk about it. And and even though there's only three of us here that are fathers, I guess, one, two, three, but we got young men. We were headed that way. Remember, Satan tried to attack everything that brings you there.
Yeah.
So this applies to these young men too, married or not married. So the father, this is what you're going to be, young man. This is what you're going to be. As a husband, you're going to be a father. But you are to be the shepherd of the family. You are to be the protector of the family. And so the scriptures tell us that the husband, he gives honor to the wife as a weaker vessel. And you know what honor is. I didn't look it up to see what the definition, but we know what honor is, okay? So there's a, there, as a man, you're like, well, I'm the head of the house. Yeah, you're the head of the house, but you're commanded of scriptures to give honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel. You are to take into account, just like a shepherd would look at his sheep and knows what their weaknesses are, knows what their vulnerabilities are, and is to create an environment to protect them, and the husband is to be that way with the wife. He is to look at her, know these weaknesses, to know that Satan would love to send a serpent to her, to talk to her when he's away, to talk to her and to subvert her and to produce wrong living in her. He knows that, and he is to give honor to her to recognize this and not to stand and say, well, you know what? You're supposed to be stronger than that. You should have known better than that. No, he's to foster and to help her and to lead and to guide and by example and by exhortation and all those things. He's there to give honor to her and to help her and recognize that she is that weaker vessel and to do everything he can that to have that channel of God working through him to bless her life and make her successful in her weak state. And by the way, mothers are very strong, but there are some areas they're weak in, and God calls you, brothers, to be her protector, to be shepherd, to lead, to guide, to foster circumstances and situations that she can be successful mother. Amen? Amen. That's right. You know, I know, you know, everybody's got their own ministry, but, you know, just to tell you the truth, this will do you some good if you can receive that and live it out. And the only way you can live it out is to have God live it through you. But he's to give honor to her as to the weaker vessel. And you know, in the scriptural standpoint, when a man was to marry a woman, he had to provide for her, her food and her raiment, and duty of marriage.
Right.
It was required. You brothers, you know, and like I said, you young men, you remember this, and I know it. Chances are slim that you could mentally remember this down the road, but perhaps the Lord will help you remember this. But you are to provide those things, and if you all of a sudden somehow you become selfish, and you don't provide those things for her, you're disobeying God, because you're disobeying His word. If you don't do those things, you're living out something that is injecting hardship in that marriage. That's right. If you just think about yourself all the time and you never think about her needs, and I realize there are times when you just can't do what the woman and what the wife needs, you don't, the timing's wrong, or you don't have the ability, you don't know how. I realize that. I mean, we're not talking about just cookie cutter stuff here. We're talking about walking with God so he helps you through every situation that's different.
Right.
Okay? But he wants us to be such that you take care of your wives and you look at them and you recognize they have needs, and you give yourself for her.
Right.
That's right. Because Christ gave himself for her. It's the right thing, brothers, that the man die before she does. And I realize, but you under, I'm trying to get a concept here. That let him give his life, and if he has to work till he drops dead trying to provide everything that, that, and I'm not talking about her, her wants, but I'm talking about her needs. Right. If he has to do that and drop dead, let him do it to provide for her. Mm-hmm. Because Christ did. Right? Of course, he's God, and he didn't stay dead. Right? But you see the concept. Oh, I got this great position as daddy over the home. I've got ultimate authority, and you've got ultimate responsibility to that. And this is what I'm getting at. You have that responsibility because remember, ultimately, it's your fault if it goes sour. Right? It is. And I'm not trying to make men, unchristianized men, when they've made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But that's what the message is here to do. Is to bring the worldly thinking out and get us in the right thought and purge ourselves so that our daily walk, once it's all done, becomes him. And we don't make these mistakes like that. We're balanced. Right? It's not saying that a man can't have something, you know, that he likes, but he can't neglect family. Right. And we've all neglected family. Why? Not because we're bad people, but because it's been injected into us by this world, and God wants to purge all that out of us by his word, by this glorious message, so that we begin to live it right and quit living the fall and the things that create the fall. I got many mistakes. When I look at the word of God, I fall way short. See? So, but I repent too, and I'm saying, God, help me, for you help me go and be where I'm supposed to be, and you help me do these things. And I'm preaching to myself when I say, this is the way it's supposed to be. But if it's the word, then we want to go with it. Yeah. And so, he is to be the protector of his wife, not just his wife, his whole family, and to honor her. And so now, when we talk about wives now, then we also want to talk about daughters. Because he's responsible for daughters too, from the word of God. He's responsible to watch over the daughters and to make sure that daughter's a virgin on her wedding night. That's it. That is, and you know what? You probably, only a man who has daughters can understand this, what that means to a daddy, to be able to take a daughter and to walk down the aisle and know and present her as a virgin, what that means to a daddy, and what that means to a daddy when that fails. Yeah. How that hurts, and only daddy knows. But that's the truth. Because if God is living in that man at all, then that man wants to present his daughters as virgins to the man that he approves of as a godly man come that time. If God's in there acting out Father in him, that's the way he wants to be, because that's the way the Word of God presents it. Right. And he's responsible. And the Scriptures tell us, and you can read about this in 1 Corinthians 7, the Scriptures tell us that the dad, the man, you know, he is to keep his virgin, right? And at some point he can give her in marriage, or he doesn't have to give her in marriage, but he's to keep her, protect her, keep her as a virgin. Well, how's he going to do that? Because you know every rascal in town wants to take that away. Right. So he has to work diligently to keep her as a virgin. Right. He has to work, and God, it's in the Word of God where God has arranged it that way, and great emphasis is put on that daddy's responsibility, and great emphasis is put on the success of a daddy when he's able to be able to do that. And if something comes along and makes a false accusation against what daddy has done successfully, then God was harsh, very harsh in his way of dealing with that. And we'll read these in the scripture in just a moment so you'll see what I'm talking about. And so, the dad is to keep the daughters and to raise the daughters up and to present her as a virgin, or keep her if he doesn't, if she never marries. I always told my wife, I said, my children can live till they're in their 30s or 40s. It don't make no difference. They could live with us. They wouldn't bother me one bit that my daughters would still be at home, still be virgins, not married, and be underneath my leadership. Right. I wouldn't bother me one bit. Right? Because it's not because I'm like, well, yeah, that's the right thing. No, it's in me. That's what was in me, was God was in me and helping me. This is what my desire was. And that's why I would say that. My kids can live with me forever as long as they live right. Yeah. See? It's not me. It's God in me. That's God in Brother Daniel that wants his family to live godly. Yeah. See? That's all we're doing is surrendering to the Lord. Him living through us. So he's to do that with wife, protect her, and with the daughter, and be that way, and to present her as that virgin. We go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is Paul, and Paul as a father over the church, over the Gentile church, to present the Gentile church to Christ. This is Paul, and he says, "Would to God that you bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Who's he acting like? Father. Right? "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So you see, Paul, his desire was to take this virgin daughter and present her holy and untouched to Christ. But he was afraid lest some slicker was going to come in under some false doctrine and touch the womb of her heart with something false. Mm-hmm. There's Daddy. You better stand at the door with a shotgun. Yeah. Try it. Yes, you should. And any man, any boy, any young man that wants to come in to that gal, to that daughter, around Daddy and not go through Daddy, is a bad character.
That's right.
Remember the serpent. We said that the other day, the serpent. But let me explain this to you. Jesus Christ is the Word, and I'm talking, this is the channel of the Word living through your dad and through mommy and through the different things. This is the channel of the Word. And Jesus says, Jesus Christ is the Word, and he says, "I am the door. And anybody that comes any other way is a thief and a robber." Anybody that will not go through the channel of the Word of this structure of the family is a thief and a robber. Why? Because if Daddy does not give her to you and you take it anyway, you're a thief. That's right. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. But this message is here to fix us. What's wrong with us?
That's right.
And so somebody, some slicker, some gal wants you to go out with her anyway against Daddy's judge. You understand what's going on there. But it really applies to the man's side. When you know better, and you're going to go ahead and do it anyway, that makes you the serpent. That makes you acting out the character of the serpent when you know you shouldn't find yourself in a compromising position or condition, and you do it anyway because it feels good to your senses or whatever.
Right.
Now you are acting out, serpent, and guess what? When you can get yourself into a place and a condition, what we would call a slippery slope, and you're out of control and you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. And you're going to act out things you shouldn't.
Right.
And it's all because you knew better and you said no to leadership and went right on anyway.
That's right.
And it's your fault. That's right. Now there is mercy to get you straightened out. Mm-hmm. But not to just continue to run in excess of rioting against the things of God. Its only way back is to repentance and surrender. Yeah. That's it. And so, anybody wants to come up some other way than through the leadership, their approval is a thief. Robber.
Yeah.
We have a work order system at work, and my boss put it in place, and he's emphatic. I mean, if you want anything done by anybody in my lab, it's got to go through the work order system. And it's amazing at how many people want to go around the work order system, walk in, "Can I get you to do such a thing?" And if you go and do what they're asking you to do, knowing full well that it didn't go through the work order system, now you're in trouble.
That's right.
Not just them. Why? Because you knew better.
Yeah.
See? So that engineer is a thief. That he comes in and says, I want you to do such and such for me. I don't want to do a work order. Just quietly do it. He's a thief. He's a rob. Why? Because he's robbed my time or my guy's time without getting permission. A thief. And that's it. If you don't have daddy's leadership and you don't have approval from your parents, you're saying no because that is your time. And you can say, well, but this person says and this, then they say we're a good couple. If your mom and dad and her mom and dad don't agree to this thing, it's wrong. And by the way, don't be unequally yoked together. You find somebody that believes like you do.
That's right.
Right? And once you find that one, and your mom and dad says yes, and her mom and dad says yes, and there is an attraction there, mm-hmm. and it's all godly, and it's done through God's channel, then there you go. But if you step back away from that,
yep.
then it's your fault. Amen.
Amen.
That's a thief and a robber whenever you try to go and take something that does belong to you. So now let's go, and we're going to read some scriptures here, and I'm going to try and speed up and get through here real quick, but let's look at Numbers chapter 30. This just shows you the emphasis that God puts on daddy, on husband and daddy, and the authority. And I mentioned this the other day, but we're going to read it, okay, and I'll comment on it. So Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Now look at that. Sometimes Paul would say, now this is me, not the Lord. And sometimes he'd say, now this is not me, this is the Lord. And here it says, and this is the thing the Lord has commanded.
Yeah.
The Lord. Not Moses.
Right.
Not by permission because of the hardness of your hearts.
Yeah.
But the Lord has commanded this. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth.
Yeah.
That's pretty understandable, right? You say it, you vow to do it, you better carry it out.
That's right.
Now I realize for us as human beings, and we make a commitment to someone and something happens and we can't do it, you are obligated at least go to that person and work that thing out.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't meet your obligation. We fail, we make mistakes, okay? But this is the channel that we should live. But now look here. If a woman, see that was a man, if a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth. Okay, this is a daughter, right? Her daughter in daddy's house in her youth. And her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul. And her father shall hold his peace at her. Then all her vows shall stand and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. In other words, God holds you to it, sister, daughter. If you make a vow and you go with it and your daddy doesn't stop it,
mm-hmm.
God holds you to it.
Yeah.
But, next verse, but if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth it, not any of her vows or her bonds wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because what? Because her protection protected her.
Amen.
Right? That's because her father disallowed her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, what about this slicker who wants to come in and he wants to get to daughter anyway? Look at the power that God has given daddy.
Yep.
Right? You know, Brother Graham said him and Billy Paul went off and got married. And Brother Branham and the father of the girl made it annulled or whatever. You know that? And if she has at all a husband when she vowed, now it's shifting from daddy being over her, now it's talking about husband. If she had all had a husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. God will hold her responsible, wives. Right? But, that's an awful big word, isn't it? But, if her husband disallow her on the day that she heard it, that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her.
Amen.
You mean to tell me that God has puts more emphasis on what daddy and on what husband's rulership is than what the will of the daughter or the will of the wife is? Yes.
Amen.
Why? Because she's the weaker vessel. And he's the leadership. He's the protector. You think God would come along and undermine his own program and say, now I make you responsible, daddy. I make you responsible, husband. But wife, you can do whatever you want and your husband can't do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. You think God would operate a program that way? Now I'm still talking to fathers, to young men going to be fathers someday and husbands, right? I'm showing you what your power is as a daddy and as a husband and how you should conduct yourself in that direction. Amen. But look at this. But every vow of a widow or of her that is divorced wherewith they have bound their souls shall stand against her. Why? Because a widow doesn't have a husband and probably doesn't have a daddy either. Even though if she's a young widow, she can go back to her daddy's house. You know, that's in scripture too. But usually a widow's older, husband or dad's gone, husband, so she's got no headship. And a woman that's divorced, she's divorced her headship. So now, where is that male figure in her life that can protect her from doing the wrong thing? They don't have it. See what I'm saying? Sisters need to listen to this really close too. Because the very protection God has given you is there to protect you and keep you. And he's supposed to be a godly man, and he's supposed to be the watchman on the wall, and he's supposed to see that this is enemy when she didn't think it was. And she said, yeah, I can do this, and I can go. But he knows better, and he says, no, can't do that. He just protected her and kept her from being destroyed by the enemy because he saw it and put a rule in place. What about her in this modern age? I don't have to listen to what you say. I don't have to obey you. Okay, live by the law of the land that's contrary to the Bible and receive of what comes to those who live that way. But if you want to live for God, obey, go into God's program and live that way and look at the benefits come from that.
Yeah.
Choose this day who you're going to serve, the Bible or laws that tell you can get away with anything out there. Right?
Amen.
I'm digging again.
It's all right.
But this is truth.
Amen.
And I feel like I need to go through this stuff because we are to live right.
Amen.
And we all have some cleaning up to do to get to this place. Mm-hmm. And God knows if we fall short because of whatever, he's got grace to help us with that. But Lord forbid for us just to willingly say, well, I'm not going to do it. God will take care of it. No, if you've got God in you, you want to live for him and live right.
Yeah.
And so the wife and the daughter has protection, but the widow and the divorced don't. And now I realize we go on into scriptures that God has a way to deal with widows. He does. He has a way. That doesn't mean that if you don't have a daddy and you don't have a husband that you don't have leadership, because you got leadership. You've got a pastor. You know, God's not going to let you go because everybody has a channel of leadership they have to submit to. Because it's God's program. And when you break your vow with that channel, you're breaking it with God. When you choose not to obey your parents, you choose not to listen to the word that's preached for you from the Bible, from the message, then you have broken your vow with God to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. Yeah. Break it with your husband, you break it with God. Break it with God, you break it with your husband. Why? Because that's your leadership. Amen. God honors father, not you. when it comes to that. He honors Father because that's him living through Father. His voice is greater than yours if it's contrary. So Daddy wants to present you as a chaste virgin. I said that a while ago, like Paul, he wanted to, and that was why? Because that was God in him doing that. Would God, as Brother Branham said, would God cause his daughters to dress provocatively to make the sons of God? Would God do that? Would he cause her to strip off her clothes and look sexy to attract a son of God to commit adultery? No, we wouldn't do that. That's not God's program. We've got to run this thing and get it in continuity of the Word,
Amen.
All of the Word, and stay with it all the way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's right. So, the daughter is to honor the dad's leadership, just like the wife is. Okay? Because you know what happened if a wife, she'd go out with some other man, you know what happened? They come and stone her and the man she was with. Right? Mm-hmm. If she hadn't, you see what I'm saying? So wife has to honor it too, but the daughter has to honor it. And what's the main thing? I'm getting close to the end here, but what's the main thing we're talking about? It's talking about a holy image of God, and you cannot have a holy image of God when you've got a man that's in God's channel and doing what he's to do, but she comes and she ain't even a virgin anymore. So it's important that he's brought up right to be what he's supposed to be, and it's important that she be right in what she's supposed to be, and untouched so that when she comes together with him, it's holy matrimony, not some filthy something. See? So a lot of emphasis is put on her and how she's raised and what all, and all that, and it's all for her protection that he might present her as that chaste virgin to that husband so that holy image of God could be shown. That's what it's there for. So we're going to read some more. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 13. We'll start reading there. She is to honor dad in all his responsibility to keep her safe and keep her a virgin. If any man take a wife and go into her and hate her, okay, so he's took her, he's married her, and he decided, I don't like her, right? And he give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. So now he's saying, well, I married her, and I thought she's a virgin, and when I went in there, it turned out she wasn't. So now I have a reason to put her away out because he just don't like her no more. So he's making up a lie. He's bringing evil report and I want to set the frame here of this. A virgin daughter who every slicker wanted to get to, but Daddy stood there and protected and raised her right and was successful in her providing her and presenting her as a virgin that wedding night.
Yeah.
And now this man's going to come up and bring an evil report on all that.
Yeah.
Okay? Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity and the elders of the city unto the elders of the city in the gate. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Let us just talk for a moment here. You see what happened? Whenever they would get married, because of this, because of the value and the price of a virgin, right? Why is it that way? Because it's important that a church not be touched by man's doctrine.
Yeah.
But she has to be. And so the value, her price is far above rubies.
Yeah.
The value of a virgin and what Daddy went through to provide that, okay? And so they would on wedding night, because of all that, they'd lay a cloth there, and there would be, you read between the lines, there would be an indication left there that she was a virgin. And that was proof that Daddy was successful in providing her that to that man as a virgin. And so they'd take those and they'd roll that up probably as a scroll or folded up this cloth, and Mommy and Daddy would take it and they'd stick it away as proof. Proof that our daughter was a virgin.
Yeah.
Because the devil's a slicker.
Yeah.
and something like this might come up. And so the elders of the city shall take the man and shall attack. So here's this guy. He has brought a false report upon this daughter of Israel, this virgin, whose daddy had worked very hard to make sure she was virgin. Daddy and mommy both. I'm saying daddy, but mommy's there too. They work together, right? And so he's brought an evil report upon her, and this is not a light thing. Virginity is not a light thing. What daddy has to go through is not a light thing. This is not a light thing. And to bring up a false accusation, period, is not light. But this is a major thing when you bring up a false accusation and try to say that she wasn't virgin when she was. And I think about the devil here at the end time trying to say, oh, she's not a virgin. And Christ says, she is too. Right? So the elders of the city will take this man who's lied like this and chastise him. And look at this. Let's go on. And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto who? Not her. The father. Give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought an evil name upon a virgin in Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. This is the authority of God over the situation, and he says, you are in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. You've brought an evil name. You've got to pay for this. And it has to go to daddy, because daddy's the one that people look to and say, huh, she was supposed to be a virgin, and you messed around and you didn't keep her. And so that's what the accusation makes it look like. But it turns out it was wrong. The accusation was wrong. And daddy was true in it. Daddy did do it. And so now there is, what do they call it, retribution or whatever. There's something that has to be paid to compensate for all this that daddy had to deal with. So how much confidence has God put in daddy and his? How much responsibility is there? You think God's going to say, you must keep her as a virgin, and then, well, I know you can't do nothing about it. If we live under God's program, you can do something about
That's
it.
Right.
But now we live in this modern age where they say, you know, daughter, you don't have to listen to your daddy. You go ahead and sneak out at night. You go ahead and do this. You go ahead and do that. Ungodly living.
That's right.
See? But redemption brings that back and makes it right.
Amen.
Right? Thank God for that, because we're all guilty of some form or some fashion of breaking God's word like that. And so, but, now that's if he was wrong. But if the thing is true, and the tokens, and remember, she's supposed to honor daddy, and she's supposed to live by his rules and not go out and do something wrong. So, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of the father's house. Now look, where did they take her? They take her and put her right in front of daddy's doorstep. Take her to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shall I put evil away from among you. So they bring her. Where do they bring her? To her friends? In front of them on social media? In front of Facebook and all the school? No. Bring her right in front of that doorstep of that leadership that she was supposed to be true to.
Yeah.
Right in front of there. And she's stoned and she dies there knowing, here was my leadership. Here's where I could have stayed true, that I could have been clean, and I rejected it. And right here's where I die.
Yeah.
And daddy has to look upon it right there in front of his doorstep. Mm-hmm. It's serious business.
Yeah.
It's serious. And anything that comes to tell you something different and try to get you to go, you better mark that, because this is what it's trying to come to. Because remember, you know, Brother Bram said, you sisters, you may be just as pure as can be, but on the day of judgment, you will answer for committing adultery with men because you presented yourself wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan will try to say, well, that's really not true. It is.
Yeah.
It is true. And the only way to get out from underneath that is to be cleansed of that, repent of it, and cleanse and get that spirit off of you. Right?
That's right.
That's it. Now let's go to verse 28, 29. Here we go. So if a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver. Why? Because if he didn't come the right way in the first place, he'd be given a dowry. Okay, so he didn't come with permission, but he's already done it, and so now he's still, God's going to make him pay. Right? So he has to give 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all of his days. And by the way, let's go back to the previous case where he lied upon her. She was a virgin, but he lied. He could never put her away. And you know, in the days of Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, they did allow divorcement, but not in that case. And not in this case. Not in this case. Why? Why not in this case? Because he didn't have permission, he did something he shouldn't, and that's the penalty you have to play. You have to stick with what you've done that was wrong. And you could never get away from it. You could never get away from it. You young ladies, they're not even here right now that could hear this, but maybe hear it on tape. But you can never be justified if your virginity is taken from somebody other than your husband on your wedding night. You can never be justified from that. That's what that veil is there for. This is serious business. And so, you know, when a dowry is given to a dad, it's not just because, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, that's because she was a worker in the house and he's going to lose that hand. It's not just that. It's the value of a virgin. It's what daddy has had to put into to make sure she's a virgin and protecting and watching over her. And nowadays, he's just too strict. No, he's being God. Amen. He's being godly. Amen. And so you can see from all this, there's plenty more, but you can see what God, the emphasis God puts on daddy and the responsibility and what it means to be able to hold that virgin and keep her pure until her wedding night. Same way with wives, to protect and keep a wife. The scripture said, if he doesn't give her, it doesn't say it this way, but it's a flip side of what it says, but if he doesn't give honor to his wife as a weaker vessel, their prayer will be hindered.
That's right.
If you want God to hear your prayer, brothers, you live in such a way that your wife will honor you and you recognize her weakness and you help her, and God will hear your prayer.
Yeah.
But if you don't, if you're selfish, if you ignore her needs and so forth, not her overly zealous wants, but her needs, what the Bible says that a husband should provide, your prayers will be hindered.
That's right.
That's New Testament. Right. You know, the gospel's got teeth in it. Gospel's got backbone. And this message has come that we might have teeth and backbone. Amen. So God puts great power over the husband, over the daddy. Look at the power that you have. You're like, oh boy, I'm ultimate. Yeah? You better look at the responsibility.
That's right.
It should make you tremble. You can't take it lightly. And this world is made in such a way, Satan's Eden, to get you to compromise and relax on those responsibilities. But if you can hold yourself true as a daddy, look at the blessing that comes to be able to know that you followed God's truth and you were able to be successful at taking care of a wife and keeping her, taking care of your daughter and keeping her, and vetting the man who wants to marry your daughter and in saying, okay, you can have her. Amen. It's all God's program. This world don't live that way, but if you want to please God, you live by the scriptures. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Brother Jordan, come up. I'll pray. And if he can come up with a song, him and Sister Anna. Amen. I hope I haven't bored you. Amen.
I hope that you go away with something that you can remember out of this morning. So we have to go through mommies, we have to go through daughters, we have to go through sons before it's over with. All kinds of things that can be said about the way we should live. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the liberty to be able to stand here this morning and to be in this environment, to speak on these things that we know to be true. Lord, if the whole world, if we could just somehow go back in history and take away all the evil that's done, and the world would have lived this way, Lord, it would be such like a better place now. It'd be like almost like heaven. Lord, it's not going to be that way in the world, but it can be that way in the homes and lives of those of your dear children that believe you. And that's all we're asking, Lord God, that these things that you have revealed and committed to us that have come through this message and the things that you will reveal, Lord, that you would just allow those things to come into us and we would be able to flesh them out, not from legalism, but from our hearts to live and embrace you. Lord, I'm just asking that you'd help us, each one in that way, to forsake this world and hold true to that which we know to be right, which is Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You can all stand. Do you love him? Do you love his truth? Do you feel like you've heard truth today?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'd get kicked out of places for preaching what I did this morning, even message churches.
That's right.
But we have liberty here to hang to God's truth and be able to share straight from the message what the prophet said about these things. And it'll do us good. Amen. God bless you. You got a song?
Okay. God bless your name.
Amen. We'll sing this and then you can be dismissed in the name of the Lord.
Bless your name.